Welcome back, everyone, to the Courageous Nation podcast, where every week we give you tips to live courageously and overcome obstacles. I'm your host, Lance Merrickey, and I'm here with your life coach, Mandy B. Anderson from Big Blue Couch Coaching, and our special guest today, my wife, Madison Merrickey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, you two lovebirds are cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's good to have Madison back.
It's awesome, actually. I'm very proud.
I meant in the studio, because you've done a podcast before. It's not like you took a break from life or anything like that.
Last time I was here, Rachel was here, and we had a full room.
We did.
Whoa,
it's still just as hot, but now we only have three of us in here.
It was a full room.
And Nate was in here doing the sound, and so we're excited for today's episode. And we're giving Rachel a break mostly because we don't have enough microphones for all of us, but also because four people in this podcast room is a little tight fit.
It would be. Mm-hmm. Yep. And last week we talked about how to make your morning suck. And for this week, I've really done it.
Have you?
Yeah. And so just a little preview, I haven't slept in my phone. Close by me, and next week we're going to follow up on that, so stay tuned.
Awesome.
You're going to be excited.
I'm just going to give you a spoiler right now. I have been doing a horrible job of staying unplugged the last 2 days. It's like my phone has been an addiction.
Yeah. I think, it's a tough, I work at the movie theater, and every time before the movie starts, I go in, I make sure, stuff's okay. And when I look over the crowd, I'm like, whoa, everyone has their phone up.
Really?
You never have,
You should remember to bring that up next week.
I will.
Okay.
Because it's strange. It's strange how we can't live without it.
I find that it's easier for me to unplug if I'm in a good book series.
Well, yes.
Yes.
But I am waiting for you to share.
I'm in the slump of between like an epic book and thinking nothing else will be good enough, then I'm always on my phone.
See, that's why I'm waiting for you to tell me what my next fandom should be, Madison, because I need some fiction.
We all share it.
Just saying.
Here.
We're going to lighten it up before,
I'm going to put
before we get to the heavy here.
Bowl, and then you can pick it out.
We're going to keep you on pins and needles till next week, because that's going to be fun, lighthearted episode.
Yes.
This episode today, we're going to be talking about something that's really real and near to all three of us, and that's overcoming a chronic illness. So we have to have a little disclaimer today. Some things we're going to discuss might offend you, and we apologize for that, but it also may motivate and empower you. So an open mind is required for listening to this episode.
So don't turn it off.
Don't turn it off. Or
stay tuned.
Don't send us an angry email. Just be prepared. It's going to be awesome, though.
It is.
With Mandy and Madison both with us today, we have this awesome opportunity. They both have been diagnosed with a chronic illness. And what we want to do is we want to give them both a chance to tell us what it's like, how they were diagnosed, and what the effects they have on a daily basis. So, Mandy, could you start with us and just tell us what your diagnosis was and how it affects you on a daily basis?
So I was born with something called cystic fibrosis, and I was diagnosed when I was 6 months old. And
6 months old?
Yep. And it is a genetic disease that affects your respiratory system and your digestive system. And back in 1982, when I was diagnosed, the outlook was not very good. Most children died from this disease, and they didn't really make it much past their early 20s.
Wow.
Most of them actually didn't make it out of their teens.
And how old are you now?
34.
That's awesome.
Yes. And so it definitely is a chronic life-threatening disease. But I also think that medical technology has come so far. Mm-hmm. And also some of the things we're going to talk about today really take effect as to what you experience with any disease. I mean, we are calling this episode the fight against CF, Crohn's, and the sickness mentality, mm-hmm. because there is a mentality that I think you really do have to overcome with any disease. Mm-hmm. And so even though the outlook was bad for CF, it's getting better.
That's awesome.
And I've only experienced one season of my life where it was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was 2012. We talk about it frequently here. It was like the perfect storm for all the wrong things to happen. But really what I experience with CF is I have to take breathing treatments every morning and night so that I can breathe, because the main problem with CF is that your body makes way too much mucus. Mm-hmm. You're missing some, genetic proteins that normal people would have. And so I take treatments so that I can breathe. I have to take pills to digest my food. And, a lot of people with CF are malnourished because they don't get enough nutrients. And so that's just kind of kind of a little bit of a look into CF.
Yeah, so it's definitely something, though, that you have to plan every day. Yes. It's an intrusive thing.
Yes. I mean, it's intrusive. I wouldn't necessarily use that word, but I guess for somebody who's never had to plan their mm-hmm. health,
right.
it can seem intrusive. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of seen it as, well, we all have to brush our teeth. This is just my form of brushing my teeth mm-hmm. every day.
That's good.
On top of actually brushing my teeth. So yeah, there's things I have to do every day, but when I make them a part of my routine, it's actually pretty easy
awesome.
To stay on top of it for me.
That is awesome.
So, Madison, it is your turn now. If you could just give us a kind of an overview of what you were diagnosed with and how that affects you.
Sure. Actually, my diagnosis started, I got sick when I was about 7 years old. I was in the second grade, and I was actually diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was 9, or on my 8th birthday, actually. Yeah, and come to find out this last, about 2 years ago, I had some more tests done and stuff, and they diagnosed me with Crohn's disease. So initially I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. I lived with that for about 20 years. And now the technology has advanced so, like you were saying, mm-hmm. so much in the last 20 years since my diagnosis that, you know, we had this talk, like, could it have always been Crohn's disease? Could it have been ulcerative colitis and turned into Crohn's disease? I don't know. But Crohn's disease is a disease that creates inflammation through your digestive tract. It can be pretty painful for a lot of people. So, and then I also have a liver disease, which is called primary sclerosing cholangitis.
Oh my. She's also a nurse, everyone. So
she gets all the terminology yeah, right.
She gets it correct. Yeah. It's awesome.
And with the liver disease, it can cause pretty severe pain in my joints and a lot of intense itching, which my husband can vouch for. Sometimes I just will say, oh my gosh, can you please scratch my back? And it's like the best treat ever when he does that.
Okay, but, so can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because I know for me, with CF, I cough a lot.
Uh-huh.
But I notice that I cough more when I'm nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself itching more when you're nervous?
Not in front of people, but like the night before. Like okay. when I was in nursing school, if there was a big test the next day, I was like a cattle up against a tree, like on the wall, like just itching and itching and yeah. itching. And so as my anxiety increased for the next day, or if I knew I wasn't like going to, I'm kind of a night owl when I should be getting up early in the morning. And so mm-hmm. as I'm counting down the number of hours of sleep I have, I'll notice that I am inchy more and getting
yeah.
nervous. So yeah, it definitely comes with anxiety, which is something I never thought of quite mm-hmm. before that. But so it affects me on a daily basis, I guess, because I kind of had to plan my day around what I'm eating. There's some triggers that happen when you have an inflammatory disease of the digestive tract. So if I know that we're going to be like hiking or camping or going on a road trip, I'm just very cautious of what I'm going to eat or not going to mm-hmm. eat at all. Or, you know, so when we made our last trip to Fargo, you were like, yes. I can't believe you're not eating lunch. But I knew we had 3 hours in the car and we needed to get to Fargo because we were heading to Taylor Swift. And I wasn't going to like sacrifice that yeah. for anything. So I waited until we got to Fargo to eat. And those are just, you know, daily things that change, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, we just put it into our routine
yeah.
and it becomes a part of us and we don't really notice that it's a thing until someone brings it up like, oh, that's so weird, or I'm sorry that you have to do that, you know? So
yeah, I have always found it interesting when people apologize that I have to do something. It's like, well, it's just my life. Like,
yeah.
didn't
yeah.
even think about it.
Well, I think it's that mentality that we have as someone who doesn't know that, you know,
okay.
we don't know what it's like to have to do that for your health every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as a society, we know, you know, we need to eat, right? We need to have fruits and vegetables and all that stuff. But when I watch you two in your lives, there are certain things you have to do, or mm-hmm. you're going to be sick all day the next day, or it's really going to, you know, take over. So I think that part of having to change your routine is what people see and say, wow, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
But for you two, it's just like, well, that's what I have to do it.
Well, and I think that brings up a good point because we really have to be diligent. And I say we because I know that both Madison and I work on this as to diligent in making sure that we get rest. Mm. That's not something I always did growing up. And even in my early 20s, most of the time I wouldn't rest until the weekend when I had a horrible migraine headache and absolutely no energy to do anything but I never understood why. Like, I never connected the fact that, oh, breathing takes a lot of energy out of your body. And so if you have any type of breathing problem, and maybe it's a day where your allergies are worse, or maybe you haven't eaten enough calories that day, and you just don't realize how that affects you, it does wear you out. And so something that I do every week is I have a rest day. And a lot of times on that rest day, I am literally on the couch in my jammies having a movie day or reading a book.
You know, they don't just say that about CF patients, too. They say it about, like, chronic smokers.
Yep.
I say chronic because, you know, it's something they do every single day. Yep. And they, you know, doctors and nurses will say, like, if you're feeling fatigued, that's one of the things that people who quit, go on nicotine patches and start to wean off of smoking, they notice that their energy increases. Well, yeah, it takes... It's at a cellular level, the oxygen going into your cells. It takes an effort to put that through your body.
I never realized that until in 2012 when my lung functions dropped so drastically that they went from, well, okay, growing up, I was always within the 90th percentile. So a normal person could have what they call a PFT. I don't really know what that stands for. Do you?
Sorry, I don't.
Okay. They basically measure your lung volumes, and they measure different things for your lung volumes. And so my my PFTs were always right around 98% of normal for my age and weight and, you know, being a female. And so I kind of knew that if I ever went to the doctor and my PFTs were down to about 92%, I knew that was time for me to be in the hospital because that's what my doctor would do so that I would get over whatever infection I might have and get back up to normal. Well, in 2012, I had gone through a couple years prior to that where I was going through some interesting health situations. Some of it were my choices. Some of them weren't. I was kind of looking into alternative medicine options. I was also dealing with that tension between praying for a supernatural healing and what does that look like in real life. And that in itself could be a whole other podcast we could talk about.
Definitely.
Because it's a very real thing. But basically, I had a perfect storm happening. We lost our home to an apartment fire, had a miscarriage, had all these things happen. And on top of some challenges with CF, my lung functions had gone from what was my normal down to 22% within a 3-year period.
Wow.
Really, they dropped from about 50% to 22% within a month.
Oh, my.
And so I never realized until that moment when I was in the hospital and they gave me oxygen how much your body needs to breathe. Like, you don't really understand how much your physical body needs that oxygen. And so... that's just something that, of course, if you can't breathe, you're going to have lower energy. You're not going to be able to do things.
Yeah. And that actually leads us right into our next question, which I've had a privileged position to watch Mandy. We've known each other for a long time, and being married to Madison, I've watched both of you with your struggles, and then I've also watched your victories. So what I would like to know then is what are kind of your biggest obstacles you face in your life? I think both of you are very successful. And it would be good to know how, you know, dealing with this. I think it'd be easy for someone to be like, well, that's it. I give up. I don't want to keep going. I don't want to do this. This is stupid. Why did I get this? But both of you have pushed through that and you broke through that. And how did you do that, Madison?
Well, I'm not going to say that we haven't had days like that.
We definitely do. And we text each other on those days.
We do. We have a support system that lets us have those moments of weakness, and then they build us up and encourage us. That's one of the amazing things about Big Blue Couch that we have here is words of encouragement, and especially our friendship on the couch is so important to us. And because there are things that our husband can say and our friends can say that are different from each other that encourage us. That we need to hear. And that's one of my favorite things about this company is our encouragement. So there are days where we have said, like, I give up, this is not fair.
Because you have to. You have to kind of take a moment to be real about what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then make the choice, but this isn't going to defeat me.
Definitely. Well, I would say that my biggest obstacle with Crohn's, let's see. I think, well, considering last week, I actually ended up in the emergency room after a Remicade infusion that I had. And I'd been about a month late for some issues. I had been about a month late on the infusion. So I was already going into the infusion with a lot of like almost like arthritis pain. Mm-hmm. And we weren't really quite sure if it was a medication reaction that caused the increase of the pain or if it was because I was having a flare mm-hmm. up and it just was so painful. And I had been back and forth and back and forth because one, I'm a nurse, so we try to like any way to stay out of yep. the hospital, mm. we will. Like yep. we don't want to be there any more than we already are.
Right.
And if we know that they're not going to do more for us while we're there, we're just not going to do it. But so I finally had told my husband, I really think I have to go to the ER. There is nothing that's helping this pain. And I was actually, you know, pretty worried. And so I had texted Mandy when I went to the emergency room. I am an overcomer. I am not my disease, you know, because I just really felt defeated. And so we had had this really great conversation. I mean, literally, what is it, like 5 or 6 days ago?
Yeah,
last week.
Yep.
And I said, it's really hard for me to find the balance between acknowledging that I have an illness and not becoming a victim of it. So I think that would be the biggest struggle that I face almost on a daily basis, because you have to acknowledge that you have this in your life. It's not something that you're like, you should ignore. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
I'm not giving any medical advice, but that's just very like
true.
A life lesson that I've walked through. I think my college years, my first time around, I went to college, as I've been to college twice, I just really ignored it. I wanted to be quote unquote normal. I didn't want to have to face, and it wasn't like CF where I had to do treatments every day. You know, I did have to take medication, but I weaned myself off and it didn't end too well. You know, I ended up very, very sick and having to kind of start from square one. And I really put myself in a scary situation. But now I'm able to say, okay, I do have this illness, but it doesn't define who I am. It is a part of me. But I also don't think that I would ever say that I would want to get like it, that I would ever want to get rid of it, that I wouldn't want it to be a part of who I am, because I think it's made me strong and like it kind of just has been a part of my makeup now where
yeah.
it's just like a part of me, I guess. And yeah, there are days where we break down and we're like, this isn't fair. But for the most part, I just find that struggle between
finding a balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mandy, how about you?
Well, I think I like how you said that struggle, because it's a real struggle, and I think it's one that everybody, no matter what type of chronic illness they have, that's the struggle they deal with. How do you balance between acknowledging the fact that you have it, not living in denial, but acknowledging it, and at the same time, choosing not to be a victim to it? What does that look like? And I think for me, my biggest obstacle, because I've always been a very optimistic, positive person, but in my mindset, in the thoughts that people couldn't hear, I had a lot of fears. And so I like to sometimes tell people that you can be optimistically fearful and positively negative. Like, you really can.
No, I totally.
Where, yes, you're a happy, bubbly person, but on the inside, you have so much insecurity and fears. And a lot of mine wrapped up around the fact that I had cystic fibrosis. And so I think for me, my biggest obstacle has been retraining my brain to control my mindset in a way that, yes, I can overcome this. I am an overcomer. That means that I can go after my dreams, but it's going to look different than other people. I'm going to have to figure out how to do more in less time, because it takes more time to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've always done in every job I've been in, before we even started this company. And 10 years ago, I met someone by the name of Julie Brown, and Maddie knows Julie. She's, become a really good friend of mine through the years, but she was a business coach that we hired over the summer. But Julie really helped me figure out that it's okay to work less time if I'm getting my work done in less time. And I worked with her at two different jobs. And at each one, she gave me the freedom to set my schedule around what I needed to help live my life with this disease. And because of that, I brought my best to the table for her. Now, is that something that every single person can do in their workplace? Probably not.
But could you imagine what like companies would look like
yeah.
if that was a mindset that corporations yes. would have. Instead of a, like a 9 to 5, mm-hmm. you know, even when I worked in a clinic job, we were busy all day long. Yep. But was there times where we were just fiddling our fingers? Sure.
Yeah.
I could have, if I had the mentality in the work area to know if I could get what I needed done, and then I could go home, would I have worked more efficiently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
And that's all it was. It wasn't like, oh, I get to pick my times. No, it was more like most people were here by 8:30 or 8 in the morning, but she gave me the freedom to be able to get in by 9 at the latest. Like if I was there between 8:30 and 9, that was fine.
Awesome.
Especially if she knew I had some medication that month where it was taking longer with my treatments, because she understood that if I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to be a good employee that day.
Right.
I'm not going to bring my best. And so that was probably overcoming that mindset of how do I live with this disease? How do I get a job with this disease? Because yes, there are people out there, and this is where the offense might happen in this podcast, mm-hmm. because yes, there are people out there who are so sick that they can't work. Right. But there's a lot more people out there who are choosing to take the easy way out because they refuse to make a way.
Right. Yep.
They're choosing to stay in their situation because they don't want to take the time to figure out how they can make money from home. Mm-hmm. So they're going to stay on disability longer than they physically need to because their mindset isn't where they need to be. That's probably where people are going to get mad because probably. I just brought that
well,
up.
Working at the clinic, I will say that I did see that. I saw it a lot. But you know what else I saw? I saw a lot of potential in people that were on disability. And I had some amazing conversations with people, just really like diving deep into their lives and realizing that for those that were on disability because it was a choice that they made, like for me as an example, mm-hmm. I could go on disability with how chronic my illness is mm-hmm. and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Sorry.
That's okay. That happens sometimes. Yeah. I know.
Well, I don't even remember where we were.
About disability.
Okay. So I would have conversations with clients about, you know, where they were at, how that, because it really takes a toll on your mental health.
It does.
And there really are people does. Who have to be on it. There mm-hmm. are.
There are.
There. This is not a black or white issue. There's a lot of gray area.
There is.
But I had a very distinct conversation with a young lady once who said she's always feeling like the ball is about to drop. Mm-hmm. Like she's at the cross between like getting a job and like being so afraid of failure and staying on disability and worrying that she is too well to be on disability. Mm-hmm. So her constant life battle was battling between making the choice of staying on disability and always having to fight to stay on it
yeah.
or get a job and fight to do what she loves. And so we had this really great conversation. And, you know, I did leave the clinic to do travel nursing, so I wasn't mm-hmm. able to really follow up with her. But, you know, hopefully she was able to make a choice that made her happy. But seeing her struggle, you could just see how much it took a toll on her mental health.
It does.
She had to struggle between finding, like literally what we just talked about, finding the balance between saying, I have this illness mm-hmm. and letting it define who you are and letting it define what you are able to go after.
And that's, I think that's the, that sentence right there, that whole story is just the epitome of this thought of what is the fight against the sickness mentality? Mm-hmm. Because that's what it is. It's the fight against, okay, I have this, but mm-hmm. I also have these dreams. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could do more with my life. But because of this label mm-hmm. called cystic fibrosis or Crohn's or whatever other sickness your label is, now I feel like I can't. Mm-hmm. That's why I seek out stories of people who have overcome something. One of my favorites is Nick Vujicic. Have either of you seen him?
I don't think so.
He is about my age. In fact, I think we have the same birthday. I can't remember. But he has no arms and legs.
Oh, yes. And okay. he loves and he to give hugs.
Yes, and he yes. loves to give hugs. Yes. But he is a world-renowned speaker and businessman.
Wow.
He has no arms and legs. And he I believe he was born in Australia. I could get this all wrong, but I think he's from Australia. And he lives in California now. He's married. He has two kids,
wow.
or one and one on the way. I know they're about to have to. And he's done all these things. Talk about somebody who could very well have given up on life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Taken the route of, I'm going to be on disability because this is all I can be as an adult with no arms and no legs.
Yep.
No, he is totally shattering that sickness mentality.
Well, and now we pretty much, that leads us into the toughest question of the day. And that is, are excuses valid? And now you can bring up an excuse, I think, every minute of your life.
Yeah.
To say, you know what? It's too cold out. I don't want to go do that. It's too late in the day. I don't want to do that. I, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I think with you two, from an outsider's perspective, we would be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, they need to stay home today. They need to be on disability today. They're not going to be able to do such and such. So is an excuse valid? Yeah, right? I know. But also, you know, please don't get offended by this. If you do, you know, maybe that's okay. Maybe your emotions need to rise and get a rise out of us today. But
I can tell you what we're about to talk about got a rise out of me.
Are they valid, Mandy? Are excuses valid?
No. No, they're not.
She's not kidding.
I'm not even kidding a little bit. Is there a place for grace? Yes. There's a place to step back and give yourself grace when you're going through a truly tough time. But there's never any room for excuses. Now, that doesn't mean I expect everybody to be like, get over your excuses today. No, if you've had a lifetime of living in your excuses, it's going to take some time to get over that.
Yeah.
But Danny Johnson is one of the coaches that both Rachel and I have worked with in the past. And she says that excuses and reasons will keep you stuck. And they will. Ooh. They really, really will. She says it a little bit more powered up than I just did. But the thing is, your excuses are going to keep you in that sickness mentality. They're going to keep you in that quote unquote debilitated state.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stop you from seeing possibilities and trying to be your best in spite of your obstacles. Yep. But I do want to, Madison, what's your first initial answer to that that question? Are excuses ever valid?
I think I said yes, yes, they are. Okay, well, I just a short little thing. Before I met Mandy, I really did live in a sickness mentality. I kind of grew up letting that word debilitated define me, because it's used so frequently in my family, from doctors, from, mm-hmm. you know, just all of the things that come with getting diagnosed with a chronic
right.
illness. And it's just, it just became a part of my life. Like, I can't pursue my dreams because I'm debilitated, or, you know, heaven forbid I should start a family because I'm debilitated. I guess I can't go to work today and be my work with excellence because I'm debilitated. It just, and it wasn't even something that I thought of until I met Mandy B. Anderson. And it was like seeing how much, you know,
and you met me right like at the crux of my hot mess stage,
which is so funny because that just goes to show how your natural gifting, spiritual gifting, is words of encouragement, because
thank you
just spoke so much life into me, around me, about me, that it just inspired me to say the same about you. And it's like they say, like, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. You want to surround yourself with people you want to be like. And I didn't want to be like anyone more than I wanted to be like Mandy B. Anderson's positive mentality, because I had never had that as like...
You're going to make me cry.
Sorry. Well, I had never had that as a type of guidance in my mm-hmm. life before. And it wasn't that the people in my life who loved me couldn't supply that for me, but they weren't walking through what you were walking mm-hmm. through and able to show me, you know, just that my
we're
voice is getting
shaken. We're not going to look at each other now because we're crying.
Well, you can let me talk and gather yourself. It is true, though. I'm naturally a cynical person who likes to be sarcastic.
What? No way.
I know, right?
I had no idea,
unbelievable. But being around people who are positive, and I get excited just to come to BBC on a regular basis because it's fun to be around Mandy and Rachel. It's fun to be around people who are positive. And I'm not just trying to say this to prop Mandy and Rachel up. I'm trying to say this to encourage you to find someone who is positive like that. You know, it's easy to get sucked into something that is negative, to always be like, well, this is stupid. I hate this person and I hate and hate and blah, blah, blah. But it's awesome to find a group of people who encourage you, who to say, you know what, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You've got this dream. You're going to go out and you're going to make it. And so I want to encourage you as a listener to be like, to find that person. To find it's a rare person, but it's easy to spot.
And sometimes you're not going to find it physically. Sometimes you have to search it out
mm-hmm. in podcasts, and become that person.
YouTube videos, yep. coaches,
yes. definitely.
Like sometimes, I mean, that's a wonderful thing that we have with technology now.
It is.
Is that you say to yourself, "What do I need in my life now? I'm going to look it up on YouTube."
Yeah.
It's sometimes not going to be in the people around you.
And that's why I think it's so awesome with technology that we don't have to sit at home giving up on life because we might not have the energy to go work a regular 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many internet jobs you can do. There are so many things. And well, now healthcare is, you know, what it is in this country. And so it's a little easier to get some insurance. But I'm just not even going to go into that because insurance is a real thing. But it can be a real struggle. But the truth is there are always ways to go after your dreams. Are they going to look different than you think right now? Absolutely. They're not going to look anything like you think right now. But there are ways to go around it. Just don't get stuck in those negative mindsets and in those excuses. And you look like you're going to say something.
I was going to talk about the headline that you were telling us about.
Yes.
That you saw on Facebook that I know I think it's important as we're going through this podcast to talk about this right here, because even me reading it, I was kind of like, oh, what? Why yeah. is she, you know, and what was the headline?
Okay. So this entire podcast episode subject was brought up a couple weeks ago when Rachel and I were in the car. We do this thing where sometimes thoughts are hard. And so we have to hop in the car just to kind of decompress. And we drive around town and we talk about things in our business and things in our life that we just need to, it's like our own therapy session between the two of us.
Sometimes I get to go along and it is the best.
It's funny actually, because it goes from, okay, we're just going to verbally vomit all the stuff we got to get out. And then inspiration happens.
Yes.
Awesome.
So one of the things we had to verbally vomit about that day was how this whole sickness mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a bunch of articles that day. Although when I went back to go find them, I could only find one. There were several articles going around this time about different CF patients specifically who were doing all these different things. And it was really playing on that whole poor me mindset. And so one of the things was a young gal with CF, and the headline was CF sufferer gets married at 16 because she may not have long to live. And I don't know this girl. I didn't fully read the story. I saw the pictures. I have my own opinions, and I'm just going to keep them to myself about all of that in particular. But what I do know is it brought up a conversation between Rachel and I. And one of the things that Rachel said was, in her very passionate voice, she said, "We all have a fatal condition. It's called life.
Yes.
It's not how long we live that matters. It's what we choose to do with the years we've been given." And it was,
I think that's really good. I think that's my favorite quote my sister's ever said.
It was so good. And it's like, yes, write that down, Rachel, because it's true.
It is.
And you know, Rachel, when she's worked up, it's like, we all have a fatal condition, people. It's called life.
Yeah, there's like a timbre or a timber that goes with her.
I think that's my favorite quote after her talking about plastic flowers. Why would you want flowers you have to dust?
Yes, that's a YouTube video people could go and enjoy if you really want randomness from the girls on the Big Blue Couch.
It puts things into a great perspective,
because
really as listeners, you know, who, you know, are quote unquote healthy, we haven't been, myself or whoever's listening, haven't been diagnosed with an illness. We need to take inspiration from Madison and from Mandy and say, wow, we literally have no excuse. We have been given this life also, and it is what we do with the years we've been given. So what about the empowering headlines, though? Because I know that you were there are some that aren't just, oh, woe is me. We're going to get married at 16 because I'm going to die when I'm 17. But there are some awesome.
And you know what? Headlines. That made a great story for a walk to remember.
It did. Actually, but that destroyed me, that story.
I know, it destroyed me, too.
Gosh, so sad.
But the reality is, most people who are living by those excuses and living under that ceiling of victim mentality have way more years in their life left then they're letting themselves rise up to experience.
Ooh.
I can't say that again because I have no idea what I just said, but we'll have to listen to it because it'll probably be a quote.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. There are empowering and positive things out there. There are always people rising above. Sometimes you have to diligently search out that because the negative things are going to pop up way more frequently. I don't know why. Like, positivity is just as encouraging and just, well, not just as encouraging. It is encouraging, but it's just as magnetic. But for some reason, the negativity breeds upon itself faster.
Pretty Woman here.
Okay.
The bad stuff is easier to believe.
That's true. Mm. It is true. The bad stuff is easier to believe. Just the other day, one of the, I follow a medical center on Facebook called the Tulane Medical Center from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I actually spoke there 2 years ago at their CF center meeting that they did every year.
Awesome.
And so I've been following them, and they do a really great job of sharing some empowering articles about CF. It's the Tulane Medical Center. It's their CF clinic that I follow.
Yeah, Tulane University. Yep. Right? The college? Okay.
Yep. And they, some of the ones that I found just this week, I went to their site because I'm like, I know that they shared something. Three of the ones that they've had just in the last like 2 weeks. One of them is empowering self-care from a young age. Wow. Yeah. Why aren't we doing that more everywhere? Empower self-care, not debilitate the people with a sick mentality.
That's right. Anyone.
Yeah. Like, anybody.
Together, because
you know, this, can I just interject with this one? Because this is actually something I wanted to bring up. Both of you were diagnosed young.
Yes.
I mean, 6 months, seven years old. So to have that, I mean, as children, is that something right away then that's spoken into you? Like, well, you're a child, but you've got this.
Yes.
So you're not going to play on the playground. You're not going to, you know.
It becomes almost like a life of deadlines.
It is. It is very much.
I remember being at my senior prom and crying. And my boyfriend at the time, he took my arm and he said, "You made it." Like, it was this big old.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I just wept the entire time I was walking down the aisle. See, and my mom was too, almost like, "Oh, she made it to her senior prom." Like, you know, it was.
Yeah.
It's little things like that where you're like, okay.
I think
you're looking at your life as a timeline.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of like
what
a milestone.
Am I all gonna fit in? Before I go.
Exactly. Huh. See, I think I lived in such a fantasy world. Like, because I have a huge imagination and I'm an only child. So I was going to be the next Celine Dion. That I had no backup plan. That's all I wanted.
Nice.
I took time off of college to record a CD with music I wrote, started doing concerts, found out I hate doing concerts. There's a problem. Can't really be a singer if you're not going to give concerts.
No, you don't make money then.
You don't. No. I love speaking. I love what I get to do here. But the funny thing about that is I don't think this whole mentality of I'm running out of time really caught up with me until I was an adult and my dreams weren't coming true. Mm. Because when I was in high school, you know, growing up protected by my family, I could do anything I wanted to. And my parents did a good job of helping me be different than other people with any type of sickness. I mean, yes, they taught me responsibility, but they also taught me you can do what you want to do. Mm. Now, I think they had their own fears because on my high school graduation day, they stood up in our little church in Carrington, North Dakota, and started crying and thanking everybody in the congregation for their support over the years. And I'm sitting here thinking, you guys, I'm really healthy. This isn't a big deal. Like, why are you doing this?
Mm. Totally.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I never really had that whole, oh, I made it, until my 30th birthday, which, because back then it was always you're going to die before you're 30, was never something my family said. But that was things that kids would come up to me and say, oh, I read this in the encyclopedia.
Oh, man.
And literally, I had kids telling me that, which they're not my friends.
No.
So
no.
I stay away from them.
That is a group of people you don't want to hang out with.
Don't be friends with those people.
No.
So that's kind of the whole sickness mentality. But my parents did a really good job of always helping me grab onto that mentality of the fact that I am a person who happens to have CF, not a CF person who happens to be living. Because there's a difference between that. Mm-hmm.
My parents did a really good job, since we're talking about being young and having an illness, for anyone who has kids with an illness that might be listening, my parents did a really great job of normalizing my life. Like, I never lived a life feeling
too.
Like the sick kid.
Yeah.
Like, my mom says she can remember, like, one of the first prayers she ever prayed about my illness was that I could live a normal life. Mm-hmm. And as far as deadlines, that kind of started trickling off after a while. Once I grew into taking care of my own self and realizing, okay, I have control of this illness. not necessarily like expiration dates or anything right. like that, but as far as taking care of myself, then that fear started.
Yeah.
Started trickling down. But no, my parents did a really great job of like making sure I felt normal, even yeah. with this illness.
Mm-hmm. So. And I think that's important to note too, is that you, as parents, you can do a great job of telling them it's that, you know, normalizing your life, but yet understand there are always going to be stigmas that come with a disease that you right. can't shield your kids from. Mm-hmm. They're going to feel it internally. The trick is to choose to rise above it. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're teaching people is yeah. you can rise above it.
Yeah, because this next headline, real quick, I want to get to is mm-hmm. cystic fibrosis man qualifies as a surgeon.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
That is so awesome on so many levels because CF people are statistically more susceptible to right. every single thing you could catch.
Yep.
And he's in an ER.
That is oh, so
I
cool.
love that.
Yeah, me too.
And I what like, was the other one?
CF girl fights deadly condition to be a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is she even, because this whole time we've been talking about how just breathing
yeah. takes have so really much intense of your energy. Breathing techniques.
Yes.
Yeah, that yeah. is so awesome.
I can tell you when I was working out with my trainer, though, like you feel so much better and mm. you're just physically stronger. I got to get back to that. He texts me like, how you doing? But I love what you wrote here, going back to the whole idea of are excuses acceptable, Lance? You wrote, the biggest loser does not accept excuses. It doesn't.
If you watch that show, those trainers, they don't accept anything. Even, yeah. when, you, even when they let you go home for a little bit to mm-hmm. eat, they don't. And you know what? The results are there. It
yes.
works when they don't take the excuse. So we've got we went a little long today, but I like that.
I do too.
I do. Because this was a great subject. And,
yes.
And if there's something you could say to our listeners as a final thought, as a word of encouragement, Mandy, would you be able to just kind of give us – actually, we're going to switch and we're going to say Madison. Can you yes. give us a word?
I guess my final thoughts for today would to – were but, would my final thoughts for today would be just if you're – facing a chronic illness, if you have someone in your life that you love who has a chronic illness, maybe just have a conversation with them about things that they might be struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
As far, I mean, that's just one of the most amazing things that we have here is our ability to have the verbal diarrhea where we just are like, this is on my mind and I'm struggling mm-hmm. with it. And then just be the person who encourages them to seek encouragement and just kind of encourage them to be encouraged.
That's actually that's what I wrote down for my final thought too, is to surround yourself with encouragers because
awesome.
That's going to make the difference. That's going to help you with the fight against this sickness mentality.
That's really cool that you both did it because honestly, that wasn't planned.
No, it wasn't.
Madison just nope. said it off of her, off
no,
the cuff.
No, no notes and, are written
yeah,
down.
That
yeah.
is so cool.
Well, because like we had talked about earlier and we got a little emotional, Mandy was a really big reason why the sickness mentality was even something I acknowledged was in my life. And I started surrounding myself around encouragers. And so if that is the only thing that you take away from the podcast today, even if you don't have a chronic illness, please do it for yourself, for your children, for just the person that you want to be. Surround yourself with the people you want to be like who encourage you. Really? It's life changing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, we just want to thank you so much for joining us. I really hope this podcast really hit hard, maybe hit home, and you can take a lot of encouragement today. And if you really enjoyed it, if you could do us a favor and just rate this podcast on iTunes, and that way more people can hear and be encouraged by this content. Thank you so much again. And until next time, let's rise up and build a courageous nation together.